Hello, check, check. We have the special privilege of hearing from one of our beloved brothers here at CCC. He just says call him Don, but I still feel very comfortable calling him Chaplain Don. But he is someone who, over the course of my time here, anytime we talk, just such an excitement for the Word of God, and really a desire always to encourage the people of God, whether it's through church history, or just talking about his thoughts on different topics and engaging the culture with the word. It's always a blessing to just discuss different things with him and talk with him, but also when he speaks the word. So let's just welcome him with just open hearts and smiles as he preaches the word of God for us today.
Thank you. I have to be honest, we were praying, my eyes were open. And one of the things I appreciate about Josh was when he set the stand, he did this, because that's more helpful for me to have a larger stand. Thank you. And I just want to say that I appreciate very much your leadership and your commitment to the Word of God and the fact that the Word of God changes us and transforms us. And that's very important for believers to know that God himself is able to make us different from how we showed up in a church service. This morning, we're going to be preaching from the book of Isaiah. My wife, Josephine, is from Hong Kong. Born and bred, she knows the lingo, the special Cantonese language. She knows the slang. How many of you here actually know the slang in Cantonese? Okay, a few of you. The slang in Cantonese can be somewhat rough. She knows the city life. She knows the beautiful city. Her heart and her blood is Cantonese. Her father, Mr. Ung, 90 years old, a little, actually more than 90, he remembers the Japanese in Hong Kong in World War II executing British officers. And he told me one time, he said, to survive, I had to learn to bow down to the soldiers. I'm so thankful we don't live in that kind of climate, and that kind of climate is not in Hong Kong. But today, Hong Kong still remains in turmoil. There are protests on the street, there's violence, there's blue ribbon, yellow ribbon, green ribbon, white shirt, black shirt, tear gas, gas masks, triads and police and secret police. Carrie Lam, the city's executive officer, is trying to speak. People are watching. Over 1.5 million people were on the streets in Hong Kong. It's a divided society today with divided families. I know a family where one person is a police officer and the other person is a protester. And in that family, Facebook has shut down. They've defriended one another. A fractured society. I have no solution for that kind of thing. These are political and they're sophisticated, and a preacher doesn't necessarily have the best solution, especially a white Anglo-Saxon preacher. I wouldn't even suggest that I have a solution for Hong Kong. But I will say, in the tradition of Christian faith, we have tears and we have prayers. And Chinese Community Church, this is a Chinese church. You are called to shed tears and prayers for Hong Kong, for China, People's Republic of China. That is our calling, to pray. Hong Kong has a history. It's imperialism, colonialism, opium wars, diverse cultural, social encounters, art and intellectual sophistication. It is at the crossroads of world economies between the East and the West. And this morning we're talking about Isaiah, an Old Testament prophet to Judah who lived in Jerusalem, 8th century BC. Judah also was at the crossroads of the ancient Near East. In the ancient Near East, you had Assyria in the north, you had Babylon in the east, and you had Egypt in the west. And there would continually be battles and confrontation. And Israel was caught in the middle. And Isaiah was called to be a prophet of the kings of Judah. And that's what he did. He responded to that call. And what's interesting is that if you look up here on the next verse, the Assyrian Empire actually went down into Israel and conquered a fortified city that was part of Judean control. It was called Lachish. And if you go to the British Museum, you can see these reliefs. And I remember when I got out of the army the first time many years ago, I went on vacation to England. And I saw these reliefs. And you see here, paraded and marched through the streets of the capital city of Assyria, Nineveh, these Jewish captives. And in the next slide, you see the Assyrian army torturing Jews. And in the next slide, you see Jews impaled on stakes. Not a very pretty sight, not a nice sight at all. But the king of that country, Assyria, Sennacherib, was a brutal leader. And when he won, he took total retribution against the people. It was not a good time for the Jews. Life had been turned upside down, but Judah still remained, and Isaiah continued to proclaim and be a prophet in that country faithfully. Hard times. We've had hard times in America. We've had civil wars. And there's no guarantees that we will not have hard times in the future. But the Word of God is important for those who go through difficult circumstances. And so when we look at Isaiah, I want us to understand that it is one of the richest and most beautiful books in the Bible, in the Hebrew language. It is a phenomenally written text. It reveals to us the nature of God, His love, and His character, and it also shows us God's expectations for us. And Isaiah was valued by the people of God during that time, even after Jerusalem was conquered. When you look at the Dead Sea Scrolls in Qumran, they actually found over 400 manuscripts there of different kinds of writings. But 15 of those manuscripts were actually the text of Isaiah. Isaiah was a popular book for Jewish people. Even in the New Testament, Jesus and the writers of the New Testament, scholars will say there's over 410 quotes from Isaiah in the New Testament. Isaiah, though, he lived in difficult times, a time of corruption, government deception, where the rich and the government exploited the poor, where businesses cheated the poor, and society was encouraged to follow their sensual and moral laxity, to follow the pagan nations. And God sent a prophet, Isaiah, who spoke the words of truth. But he did something worse. I will tell you, as a preacher, you can preach to anybody. Isn't that right, Josh? But living it is different. Joshua lived his message. He was a person who lived his message. I hope that we as Christians, as we profess Christ, will live that message. He lived the words, and he was beaten, he was thrown into prison. Some people say, well, that's not my responsibility, that's the preacher's job to live holy. The preacher has to be the goody two-shoes. The people can waste their lives on sensual living, not being serious, worldly, don't have to pay attention to things that, oh, the preacher should do that. Isaiah was called by God in a vision. One of the teachings and texts of the Protestant Revolution is that Not only the religious people are called, all people are called by God. Let me ask you, what is your calling this morning? How has God called you to fulfill his mission in your life, in the world, in this church? You live in D.C. Some of you work for the government. Some of you are retired. Some of you work for civilian organizations, and some of you may not work. How has God called you to fulfill his vision for your life? God loves the world, and he calls us. He calls us to offer hope to people. All these things around us will pass away. Your money, your TSP, your IRAs, it will all be gone. But what will remain is how you have been faithful to God's calling in your life. Isaiah could have said, Lord, I don't want to be called to Jerusalem. It's too tough. Call me to an oasis where I can have figs and relax. Kind of reminds me of some friends of mine. You know, I'm an army chaplain, and army chaplains are sought for. And they're sought for in the cruise industry. Because the cruise lines understand that you're an army chaplain, you're a minister, you can do marriages, you can do lectures. We want you to come on the cruise line, and oh, by the way, you have a free ticket. Anything you want in the cruise line, as long as you're there, you're good to go. Isaiah could have said, I'd like to be a preacher in a cruise line. Josh, wouldn't you like to, you know, in life we have conflict. In churches there's conflict. Sometimes, you know, you're having a conflict. Oh, I want to go to the cruise line now. Isaiah could have done that. He could have said, take me to the cruise line. But he was faithful in Hong Kong. He was faithful in D.C., Chinese Community Church. God's calling you to be faithful in D.C., to let your light shine, that it might attract people to the living God. That's what he's called us to do. Now, we can always opt out and go to, on occasion, the cruise is okay. Where's Jennings? There he is. The cruise is okay. I'm not complaining about the cruise. But that's not our primary calling. Our primary calling is to be a follower of God. So God put Isaiah at the crossroads and called him to prophesy to the people who were corrupt. And he did it faithfully. He did it faithfully. And the last king that he served was Manasseh. And we know the legend that exists about what happened to Isaiah. He was hiding in a hollowed out tree, and Manasseh, the king of Israel, found him and sawed him in two. Sawed him and killed him. But one of the amazing things is that later, Manasseh seems to have taken a turnaround and become faithful to God before he was executed by the Assyrians. Perhaps his faithfulness as a prophet of God offered hope for this man, Isaiah and Manasseh. Chapters before verse 35 tell us the story of judgment on the nations, on the people of God. And Isaiah wanted to explain to them here in this chapter that even though he had proclaimed judgment, there was hope. There was hope. That's what Isaiah wanted to do in chapter 35. Even though your nation may be suffering because of corrupt and wicked government, even though the leaders who have no integrity and abuse their power are influential, God is there. And in the end, God will bring goodness to the people of God. The title of my message this morning is this: Is there an up when you are down? Have you ever been down? Have you been down in life? Ups and downs? Isaiah tells us that there is a hope when we're down. And that hope is in our God. My first point this morning is this: our deserts, our parched land, our wilderness, our difficult moments will rejoice. Pay attention now as we read the text to the beautiful imagery, the personification of nature. Nature is important in the Old Testament. It's a revelation of God's creation. It's an illustration of how God works. Often the prophets use it in this way. But in our fast-paced world where most of us live in an urban footprint, when we think of nature, we think about mowing our grass, trimming the trees, or eating spinach to make sure that we don't have too much weight in the belly. We have no time to really reflect and think about the beautiful images that we see portrayed in the scripture. So as we read the text this morning, I want you to be amazed at how Isaiah has used these texts to illustrate certain truths. Verse 1. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. Go back to the previous slide. That's a crocus up there on the left in Israel. Okay, move back. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. In the midst of the desert, he's saying, that desert, that wilderness, can be an opportunity of joy and rejoicing. Promise of blessing follows judgment here. For the people of God, one day the refreshing, the renewal will come, and God will bring it. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of God, of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Lebanon was renowned for its cedar trees, its junipers. It was a forested area during that time. It's not as forested as it was in the past. But there were beautiful forests there. Sharon, the plain along the Mediterranean coast, north of Joppa, beautiful foliage for grazing. And Carmel had fertile fields and orchards and lushness. So in other words, the text here is saying that you may be in a wilderness, but understand, times will come where there will be refreshing and renewal. And that reminds me so much of the words of Jesus in Matthew 11:28-30, when Jesus said, and this is for us, for the disciples, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Excuse me. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't know what you face, but if you're facing something that's difficult, come to Jesus. Accept his yoke. That means commit to him. I've been around churches for a long time, and I'm fully aware that there are many people in churches that are kind of never really fully committed to God, or people that have wandered out of commitment to God. And I encourage you and challenge you to make that commitment to God, to surrender to him, take his yoke, because he will bring joy and gladness. This applies to Hong Kong, applies to DC, applies to those with federal jobs, those in retirement, those in church work. Surrender those deserts of your life to God. Trust him. Trust him in the midst of the craziness in your life. That's what Jesus is calling us to do. And that's what this picture is that Isaiah is bringing forth. Secondly, we have encouragement in suffering. Verse 3. Strengthen the weak hands. In other words, it implies those who have a lack of power, or you're discouraged, debilitated, you can't do anything. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. That implies weakness. Those who are weak can't move ahead. You're kind of paralyzed. You're stuck. strengthen, and I'm sure our PE teacher over here, Garrett, loves the illustration about the physical body. Those are, again, natural things. Natural things. And make firm the feeble knees. Keeps people from moving ahead. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with recompense of God. He will come and save you. I think Isaiah read his Bible. You know that, Josh? Because he knew the power and the strength of God, and he knew what deliverance takes place as you remember the words of God. In the Old Testament, the Torah, God says to Joshua, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake me. And in verse 6, he repeats what Isaiah said. This is years, 1,000 years before Isaiah. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. These words given to Joshua remain on the lips of Isaiah. Be strong and fear not. What words are on your lips? You may be in a difficult work situation. What words are on your lips? Is it be strong and courageous, or is it I hate that S-O-B? What words are on your lips? The legacy of Christian faith is words of faith. And these words from Isaiah are our words. Beautiful words. Joshua shared them with his people in Joshua 10:25. And Joshua said to them, do not be afraid or dismayed. Be strong and courageous, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight. What words do you share? What words are on your lips? First Chronicles, David told his son Solomon, be strong and courageous. And Paul gives personal remarks in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, to the people of God. He says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. What words are on your lips? These are holy words. These are the words that are words of faith. We need to replicate these words. We need to tell our children these words. Be strong and have courage, my son, my daughter. This is the legacy of faith that we have a part of. So I encourage you to speak these words instead of other words that might be vile. But speak the words of faith, which being strong and courageous. As God encourages us, we encourage others. The text also says, and I want you to just kind of listen, tune yourself with these next words to the words of Jesus and the message of the New Testament and the Acts of Christ. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy, for waters break through in the wilderness and streams in the desert. People have written books called Streams in the Desert about renewal, refreshing. The burning sand shall become a pool. What an image. And the thirsty ground, springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes, a swamp, watery area. What a picture of renewal and refreshing in the midst of a desert. And God can do that to our lives. It's a metaphor of the earth being transformed with spiritual application to our lives. We have this renewal if we draw close to Christ. Do you need refreshing? Think about it. I guarantee you, we need refreshing. Do you need refreshing? Then draw close to Christ. Spend time with Him. Let Him be your holy priority. At the end of my message, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands as everyone has their eyes closed. But I want you to be thinking about your own spiritual state. And I'm going to encourage you to lift your hands up just as an indication that you receive this message later after my third point. 3, we walk the highway of holiness. This is a beautiful picture, this highway of holiness. Now, this is not like I-35 or 95 or what highways do we have out there? It's not a highway. It's not a highway. This highway is a single elevated road. It's an elevated walking place where you're walking along a path that is very distinct, separate from a lower area. And that is how we are as believers. We walk a different path. Let's read this verse. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. I love that verse because it's a promise for me. Because sometimes I've been foolish. Sometimes I've made mistakes. And this text here says, even if the fools are on that road, there's hope. How many of you all here are fools? Don't raise your hand. There's hope for you. There's hope for you. God's mercy is so great that your foolishness will not end you. God will be merciful if you walk on His road. Such hope of God's protection, it gives hope for fools. This path tells me that even a foolish person has hope, and nothing will come against you. Verse 9, no lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Friends, walk on that path of holiness with God, of separation. That's the image for Christianity. It's an image for us. It means that we don't have to sink into the pit that everybody else around us has sunk into, where we're cursing people, saying all kinds of negative things about our boss, joining the gossip game, spreading rumors. No, a believer does not have to walk in that path. We can walk above it on that highway of holiness. No lion or ravenous beast will touch you. God will comfort you and protect you in light of the destruction, the suffering of life. Isaiah is trying to tell the people of God that no matter what bad things happen in the future, there will be redemption. There will be refreshing. There will be renewal. I'm reminded of a song based upon this scripture, and I'm going to try to sing it. And you can listen to it. And then afterwards, I'm going to ask everyone to bow your heads, and we'll have a prayer. And I'll give you an opportunity to raise your hand. But the song goes like this. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. And with all heads bowed, I want to invite you to respond to this message this morning. And if you want to seriously strive harder with God, to walk on that road, to be refreshed, to have your desert turned into a blessing, I would like you to raise a hand or two hands and just leave it up for a second or two. And I'm going to pray for everybody here who has a hand raised up. Even the little pinkies that are raised count. Just give a little more time for you to slip a hand up and put it down. This is simply just a response to the message of God this morning. I'm not going to ask you to come forward just to respond to the message and indicate that you need God's mercy and grace in your life. Lord God, this morning, I want to thank you for the word of God which transforms us. Lord, help us to get on that holy highway and to walk, because there's hope in it. There's hope in it for us who are foolish. There's hope in it for us who are wandering, because it takes us into relationship with you in a powerful way. Lord, I pray for those who raised their hands, indicated that they need your grace and mercy in their lives. Lord, I pray that you will meet their need, that you will come beside them and walk with them as they make a visible commitment to you. And that I pray that you would turn that wilderness, that desert in their life, and bring joy and gladness out of it. Just like the crocus flower that we see grows in the midst of the desert, Lord, would you grow us in the midst of our deserts, that we would be blessing and have the joy of God in our heart and life. Help us, Lord, to be strong and to fear not. And Lord, help us to pass that down to those around us, to be encouragers, to encourage people to be strong and have courage and trust God, instead of joining in with the crowd that curses and backbites and is vile. But let us be light and represent you as people of courage and not having fear in what you've called us toward. I pray this in your most precious name, Lord. Now bless your people, walk with them, protect them, and give them opportunity to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.